Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings from Miami. It's the 31st of December 2008. This is Ken English. I'm the Blog Talk Radio guy. This is a program that's going to be a little bit of a retrospective, a little bit of a look to the future. It's an open mic if anybody's interested in calling in. Otherwise, I'm going to be doing some interviews with people that I've talked to this year, talking about some of the projects that have been started, some that came to a crashing end, some that came that are still being worked on and have not yet come. Radio platform has provided a unique opportunity for me and for thousands of other people. We're able to sit at various places. I've done programs from Starbucks, from home, from a convention center, from trade shows, by cellular phone, walking around. Very unique opportunity that the technology of today has presented for all of us. Over the period of time, I guess this year in particular is the one that I've been spending the most time with it. Back in 2007, I was at a conference that Mark Hendricks organized for the ISS group, the Internet Success System, and one of the speakers was Willie Crawford. Willie casually mentioned during his presentation that he has an internet radio program, talks about cooking and other things at that time, and I thought that sounded like a neat idea, so I pursued it. Came up upon the blogtalkradio.com website, registered as a listener, registered as a host, and started this particular program, which I call Liquid Lounge. And the Liquid Lounge is a continuation of a terrestrial radio segment that I do during Caribbean Rhythms with Eddie Edwards on Saturday on a local Miami radio station. The local Miami station is WZAB, and it's a unique station in that it provides brokered independent business format during the week, and on the weekend it's Caribbean programming. So the Caribbean programming takes over all day Saturday and provides a unique taste of the Caribbean. Eddie Edwards does a program from 3 to 6 p.m., and during it at 4:30 I do a segment called Liquid Lounge. And it was spun off of the idea that there needs to be more attention given to the ocean. We can do it in an entertaining style. There's a lot of neat lounges and beachfront environments throughout the Mediterranean and here in South Florida in the Miami Beach area, and up and around the coast of Florida. But there's not a lot of talk about the ocean and some of the problems that are taking place. So this past year I was able to participate at the Coral Reef Symposium in Fort Lauderdale. It's an event that takes place every 4 years, bringing scientists together to talk about the quality or the decline in the quality of the ocean. I'm going to play a couple of excerpts, some interviews from that a little bit later. But I think the first thing I want to start off with is recognizing that today is, in fact, December 31st, 2008. And it is the last day of the calendar year. Tomorrow marks the beginning of a new calendar year. It's January 1st. And in between those two time frames, those two numbers, basically, is a place for you to be with an attitude. When does December 31st really end, and when does January 1st actually begin? If you say at midnight, I guess you're right, because you can certainly do it from a clock standpoint. You can do it when you flip the calendar page. But a friend of mine mentioned
the server at a hotel. Perhaps it's somebody that I interact with in my own office. Perhaps it's the printer. I don't know who the angel is. But I know that if I treat every single person as if they're the angel, by the time I get to the end of the day, I'm going to have gotten to the angel.
Remember when 30 seems so old. Now looking back, it's just a stepping stone to where we are, where we've been. Said we'd do it all again. Remember.
Years ago, I heard a preacher say, expect a miracle today. I love that teaching. Expect a miracle today. And every day I expect a miracle. I have one life. And I recognize if you look at this life, I've got an option. And if my life's dream and mission, and those people listening to me need to know my vision for my life, is that I want people to say that I touched their life positively. Well, how in the world can I touch their life positively if I've copped out and I'm not positive? To whom much is given, much is required. Today's the day. It's January 1st. I truly believe that our life is God's gift to us. What we make our life is our gift back to God. God bless you, to you and your family.
We won't be sad, we'll be glad for all the life we've had. And we'll remember when. Remember when.
So it is. It's the 31st of December 2008. January 1st is whenever you want it to be. It really starts right now. I know it's a philosophical thing when you talk about when time begins and ends, where it is in terms of past, present, and future. You can talk about the present being this moment in time, or you can talk about it being all day today. January 1st begins now. Begins with your attitude and your thinking process. So as Ray Pelletier would like you to do, is put December 31st behind you. Recognize that you can't change the past. There's nothing that you can do to make things different. Whatever good decisions you made, whatever bad decisions you made, they're over, they're history. And now you're living in the moment. This is, today is the summation of everything you've done before. And if you expect it to change, if I expect things to change, I have to make some changes in the way I do and perceive things. So we're going to be talking for the next few minutes about Blog Talk Radio and the unique opportunity it presents for organizations and for individuals. It's a great communication tool if you're a speaker. If you're a motivator, Ray would have been great with this platform. He had a wonderful time talking to people, many people from around the world. When Ray died, the technology of 2005 is still being worked on. Doesn't sound too long ago, but it certainly was from the way things have advanced in blogging and microblogging and regular internet communications. But there was an electronic memory book, a guest book, comments, whatever you want to call it, that was set up for Ray when he died. And it had hundreds of posts, people from around the world that were finding out from their friends. Most, you know, it was such a shock because Ray was not sick. He went into the hospital for hernia and had a blood clot and died. And it took everybody by surprise. The week before, on a Friday night, he was at a friend's house for a book signing. His newest book, It's All About Service, had just been released. And so it was a real shock for people. And so many people from around the world entered into this electronic book, their comments and their thoughts and how Ray had impacted their life. And somehow the server crashed and all of that information was lost. It's really a shame because it was the makings and essentially a book, because it was not an issue of race, religion, sex. It was people of around the world of all persuasions. At the funeral, Billy Donovan, the coach of the Florida Gators, was there because Ray and he had become friends over the years. Because Ray reached out into the school programs in Miami. He's a friend with Udonis Haslam, one of the Heat players. Has been since high school, or was since high school, when Ray was a motivational speaker for the school. A lot of good things happen, and unfortunately, very few people know much about it. So anyway, I'm trying to do a little bit more with that, particularly today, and I think tomorrow we'll do a special show. I'll set up a January 1st show and invite a few of Ray's friends to call in, and we'll see if we can get something together. But for today, it's really talking about the Blog Talk Radio platform, the way I've been able to use it over the last several months since I started actively doing it in the first quarter of 2008 until today. You either have an opportunity as a host on Blog Talk Radio to either do your own thing, talk about your own products and services, tell people what you have to offer, or you can use it as a platform, as a social media platform, to talk about other people and other organizations. That's the direction that I've tended to take this a little bit more, because I've seen there are a number of wonderful organizations trying to survive in a difficult economic time. Traditional radio is just too costly. As well as, you know, as in most market areas, a good radio program has a lot of listeners, but it's such a fragmented market these days. About 10 years ago, I was on a Miami station that is now a sports channel. But while I was on the Miami station, you realized that you had the power to talk to people in 3 and 4 counties. And that was great, but you still had to get them to tune in the frequency. On the Blog Talk Radio platform, you have the opportunity to speak to people around the world. At any given time, there's somebody from Europe, South America, Asia. Yet alone, you can talk to people here in the South Florida market, or I can talk to people here in the South Florida market. Every Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, is a program for the organization called Operation Green Leaves. I produce and co-host it for the executive director, Nadine Patrice. Nadine Patrice, for 18 years, has been talking about the problems that Haiti is facing in a reforestation. And therefore, we provide a platform for people to talk about Haiti and other environmental causes. Not too long ago, we had the president of the Friends of the Everglades on to talk about the importance of the Everglades to South Florida's ecosystem and why a number of initiatives are not good ideas. Here in Miami, there's been a strong push to push the urban development line further into the Everglades, creating more paved parking lots. As Judy Collins once said, repaving paradise, putting up a parking lot. And that's what we want to do here in the Miami. That's what some people in the Miami area want to do. They want to go further west into the Everglades. They want to put up 6,941 homes, which is estimated to translate into about 18,000 people. 18,000 people, that's probably going to be about 18,000 automobiles. It's schools, it's shopping. It's all on the fringe of the Everglades. And what that does is it taints the water, it jeopardizes the well system and the other issues that deal with quality of life, which gets back to ecotourism. It's something that Miami is developing more of, and it's essential that the Everglades stay as an ecotourism destination and a quality of life issue. Eco Alert with Nadine Patrice is on Blog Talk Radio at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. This is Ken English. I'll be right back. Loud with Ken English on blogtalkradio.com. Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Do you know how to use a blog? A microblog? Online video, Blog Talk Radio, or other Web 2.0 applications? If not, then you need to enroll in the School of Social Marketing. Let the Niche Prof and his friends teach you how to use the internet more effectively. Check out the School of Social Marketing.com. schoolofsocialmarketing.com. Enroll today. Well, that's Billy Ocean, and I guess that's going to be the theme of the year, 2009, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I think it's imperative that most people recognize the Internet as one of the ways to go. Over the last few years, I've been very fortunate to learn from people such as Mark Hendricks and the Niche Prof, Dr. Ron Capps. I've learned from Jack Humphrey and a number of other Internet marketing people, Willie Crawford, and a lot of people who have been speaking at conferences that I've had the opportunity to attend. For you who are in the business community, if you're online with a business, you know how important it is to stay on top of this current trends and the situations as it's evolving. If you're not an active Internet user, but you have a business, you need to become more active online. It's a unique opportunity, but it's changing rapidly. As Dr. Capps likes to talk about during our show on Sunday afternoon at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Blog Talk Radio platform, it's called the Niche Radio, or Niche Radio with the Niche Prof. Dr. Ron Capps is the Niche Prof, and he's focused on his school and his education. He teaches in Western Missouri, but he's also one of those who's teaching other people through workshops and the like. He has a unique opportunity, he presents a unique opportunity for people to learn about social media such as Twitter. If you are not a Twitter user, it seems to be the IT application right now. There's certainly MySpace and Facebook and many other applications that are out there, but the Twitter community has really become quite active. I've been following more people. I've been reading more of the posts and recognizing that the platform isn't so much about what are you doing in a very loose way, because I don't care, and most people don't care whether you're going to the store or you're drinking coffee or whatever you're doing. I've disconnected from a couple people that I thought were frivolous and it just weren't serving any purpose. What I've realized over the last few months in particular, that the utilization of Twitter is really to follow people that you respect, to recognize that there are a number of people that know more than you do, but there are also many people who know less than you do. And so that puts you in a unique position somewhere in the middle. I found that there are people who have an interest in what I talk about. I have an interest in what a lot of people are talking about because I really don't understand a lot of it. And what I realized is that I can trial and error it, and it takes forever, and it's very frustrating. Or I can listen to some people and pay attention to what they're saying and read what they're posting and go to the places that they're pointing me in the direction of. I've found some amazing blogs and websites that I would never have found on my own, simply because I follow Dr. Ron Capps and I follow a number of other people on the Twitter platform. And every time they post something, I know that it's relevant and it's of interest. I'm developing some interesting posts and some information for blogtalkradioguy.com. I've decided that I like doing this enough to tell people about it and to maybe help with it. As a joint venture relationship, I could do a show for you. you could just simply talk. If you've got a product, we've got a deal. It's something that could be developed very simply and very easily. Dr. Capps calls in on Sunday at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time from his home in Western Missouri. I'm in Miami. We connect through a phone in New York City. That conversation is streamed live across the internet. At a given time, well, Dr. Capps and I might have up to 13, 14 people. It depends on how much are promoted in advance. We probably could, and I think in 2009 we will promote a little more aggressively and see if we can build up the live listenership. But what's really fascinating is that the archives get more than 100 listeners in the course of a week, sometimes much quicker. Last week's show had 43 by Tuesday. It's an interesting phenomenon because it's searchable. I think that's one of the areas that a lot of people miss with Blog Talk Radio. It's a searchable medium. Google loves it. It comes for certain keywords, you'll come up on the first page. I'm amazed at how long it stays on a website or on the search results. It's just something that you can greatly benefit from if you do a series of radio programs. If you don't know how to do it, you can email me, Ken Ng. You can just do it at ken@blogtalkradioguy.com. And I'll be happy to talk with you, walk with you through the system, and maybe there's something that we could do together. I am going to take a caller. I've got a caller from the 248. Who's on from 248?
Hi, Ken. Mick Rizzo.
Mick Rizzo, man, what a terrific surprise. I'm delighted. Thank you for taking up on the invitation. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Yourself?
I'm doing very fine. I played a little bit earlier the clip that you did for Ray. I don't know whether you had a chance to listen to it or not, the little tribute clip. And a lot of what I'm doing today, I guess, maybe it's even just for myself to kind of talk it out, but I'm glad that you're here to share it with me. This is an interesting period of time for a lot of us who knew Ray, because it got us thinking a little differently. He was very influential in many ways. What I was greatly disappointed in is that electronic log, the book that people signed, was lost. That was never found, was it?
That was really a sad situation. I don't know too much about it. I didn't have an opportunity to handle the mechanics of that. But, yeah, it was lost, and it was unfortunate. And more importantly, getting back to your original thought, today and tomorrow do really symbolize what Ray was all about. And you and I had a great fortune to spend some quality time and really develop that January 1st permission to win philosophy that I think you and I have taken into our lives every day. And I just tuned in, Kenny, so I apologize if there's some redundancy in what you discussed in my conversation, but I don't think we can ever realize how fortunate that we were. And for those who are listening to you right now, what today and tomorrow mean in our lives, both literally and symbolically. Ray lived with a philosophy of making sure that every day was January 1st in your life, and getting rid of the trials and tribulations, the guilts, the failures of yesterday, and literally his term, flush it. That was a December 31st mentality, and you know, all we have is today, and God didn't promise any of us tomorrow. So as we both know, going back to the Orange Bowl days and probably almost 25 years now in retrospect, what tonight would mean for all of us and how we would, wherever we were on the planet, how we'd reach out to Ray on a night like tonight and a day like tomorrow. And thank him again for being blessed with that idea of living every day like it's January 1st. And I know I can only speak for myself, but I think I speak for you when I say that it's changed my life in a positive way.
Well, what it did for me, and it's taken a long time, I guess. I mean, certainly his death made me be more aware of how, you know, the expression, you're not promised tomorrow, you know, type of thing. Certainly I had seen him the Friday before at the book signing. And that's why it was such a shock. And the outpouring of sympathy and empathy from many people was really an eye-opener as well. Because we go through our lives, you know, we have a certain contact. We overlap, as I think the term is Venn's diagrams, if I remember correctly from school, where there's circles that we interact with each other on. You and I have a small interaction, but you've got a big circle that you're involved in your business world. Ray happened to be the catalyst that brought you and me and Dan together, and several other people. But at his funeral, I mean, there was an Air Force general, and Billy Donovan was there. There were people of all walks of life. There were all colors. There were all religions. And I guess it really took me, I guess not by surprise, but I was so impressed that Ray was able to relate to so many people. It was just amazing, wasn't it?
It truly was amazing. And I think it demonstrated to both of us, rather succinctly, what it means to leave a lasting legacy. And the coy phrase is, none of us are getting out of here alive. But what kind of impact you have on people around you, and maybe even people that you never realized that you impacted. In Ray's case, somebody who may have sat in a chair in one of his corporate presentations. And we both know a ton of stories, what we used to call people under the bleachers. And he left and is leaving an impact of that goes beyond, his life in this life. And I think you start prioritizing, what the priorities in your life are, what it means for family, friends. And it was quite a life lesson for both of us that what he left and the legacy he leaves behind extends past his life. And the question, I think, becomes for anybody, not just people who were touched by the Ray Pelletier message, but people that come in day-to-day contact with a Ken English or a Mick Rizzo or a Dan Casey, what kind of impact do you leave? Are they better for having known you? And that, I think that's the priority, at least that's what I strive for in this life is, can I make it a little bit better for somebody that I come into contact with? Can I open a door or help an elderly lady go in and out of a store and make it a little bit easier, particularly in these brisk Michigan winters that we're experiencing right now? And more importantly, can I teach that to my son? I mean, to automatically open a door for an elderly woman or lady or gentleman or help a little bit, pick up a bag, whatever it takes. Can you do that automatically so you don't even have to think about it anymore? And I think that's the best we can hope for in this life.
Well, certainly it's a social environment. I was thinking the other day as this started to approach, and I was thinking about Ray, and I'm saying, these opportunities that we have, he was just didn't get enough time. He'd be great on this Blog Talk Radio platform.
Certainly.
The video and the Ustream, it's coming on. He'd have done that. But let me play the 4-minute clip, and then you spent a lot of time with him in the studio where you edited this little piece. But when we come back, maybe if you wouldn't mind, talk a little bit about some of the things that what it was like, because I have my own experiences with Ray behind the scenes, but in the last few years, you spent a lot more time with him in the studio. But let me just play this little clip first.
And I have a very simple philosophy. I believe that every single day of my life is January 1st. Moses got the Ten Commandments. I got the gift of January 1st. Now I call anything that happened in my life yesterday, good or bad, I call that December 31st. And God promised none of us a tomorrow.
Remember when I was young, so used, time stood still. Love was all we knew. Remember when?
My priorities are simple. It's spiritual first, family second, business third. I want to make sure that I live to those. So in order to do that, you have to remind yourself of those.
Remember when?
And I believe the best thing about falling flat on your face is you get a chance to get up, dust off, and keep on going. Let me start all over again. It's January 1st.
Life through curves, there was joy, there was hurt, remember when.
It's not like you've ever crashed and burned in.
Tons and tons and tons. I have more experience in my life at failing than do I do at winning.
Remember when.
But that's a great launching pad. I believe every single person listening to us knows what it's like to experience failure. I'm absolutely touched in my life by being blessed to have had the parents that I had. So I'm very appreciative to my parents for setting and establishing a legacy in my own family.
Remember when.
We have two magnificent children. Kimberly Faith is 25 years of age and Ray Jr. is 24. We all love each other. The first prayer that I pray in the morning is, Dear God, please let my life catch up to my mouth. The second is that I'll be able to walk my talk. I believe that every day of my life I'm going to meet an angel. I just don't know who the angel is. Perhaps it's a server at a hotel. Perhaps it's somebody that I interact with in my own office. Perhaps it's the printer. I don't know who the angel is. But I know that if I treat every single person as if they're the angel, by the time I get to the end of the day, I'm going to have gotten to the angel.
Remember when 30 seems so old now looking back. Just a stepping stone to where we are, where we've been. Said we'd do it all again. Remember when?
Years ago, I heard a preacher say, expect a miracle today. I love that teaching. Expect a miracle today. And every day I expect a miracle. I have one life. And I recognize if you look at this life, I've got an option. And if my life's dream and mission, and those people listening to me need to know my vision for my life, is that I want people to say that I touched their life positively. Well, how in the world can I touch their life positively if I've copped out and I'm not positive? To whom much is given, much is required. Today's the day. It's January 1st. I truly believe that our life is God's gift to us. What we make our life is our gift back to God. God bless you, to you and your family.
We won't be sad, we'll be glad. For all the life we've had, and we'll remember when. Remember when
you did a great job with that, Mick. It brings back memories, pleasant ones and unpleasant ones from the time that I first heard it. But as I've been looking at the page I put online, you know, kind of my thoughts, I was able to, you know, put on some text and some pictures and stuff like that. And it's been online all this period of time, although I've moved it from a few sites every now and then. I go back and check it out, make sure the links are still working. But Ray had a way with people that was really nice. It was a grassroots, down home. He was one of the guys type of thing, but he was able to just summon up some energy. I used to ask him how he, you know, who motivates the motivator, and he said, well, it's the spirit within, or the actual words of enthusiasm, you know, that type of thing. When you were working with him in the studio, when you were carving out that little clip that you just did, what memories did it bring back for you?
Well, as you may have related earlier, Kenny, he passed so suddenly, and it was such a stunner. And then, as is the case in a situation like that, the funeral plans come together rather quickly, and. As I kind of look back, because there were volumes of material that we had recorded over the years, but I went back to one of the original recordings where he really defined in one session what the January 1st philosophy was, permission to win, some bio information. And I just remember kind of cherry picking through, and at the time the Alan Jackson song was huge, and as he would like to say, it really was a God thing. It just kind of slotted together. I'd like to say it was incredible creativity, but I mean, I was only a vehicle on that, but it was truly a blessing. And, you know, knowing him was a blessing. I won't say that it was all peaches and cream. We both, we had been around him for decades. So like anybody else, we knew the monkeys he was carrying and the negatives. But as a human being, he was just spectacular. And I think the part I miss the most is the ability to have that coaching and that energy when I'm feeling a little December 31st. And I could pick up the phone, and it was nice to get a charge, a battery charge, just in dialoguing with him. And I think more than anything else, I've come to really miss that the most. I can't tell you how many times in the last few years I thought, geez, I wish I could pick up the phone and talk to Ray. I mean, and just from that standpoint, there's so many other reasons that I'd love to be have an opportunity to pick up the phone and talk to Ray. But in that particular instance, I'd say that's number one. And as an adopted brother, you know, candidly, we fought like cats and dogs, especially in the studio. He was, I don't have to tell you, he was pretty set in what he had in mind. And there were times when he would tweak something. And by and large, I can honestly say that every time, while it was irritating, it might have been an irritating process, without question, I think the majority of the times what he had to say held some substance. But we would, whenever we did fight it, or argue or heatedly discuss, it was from a passion of wanting to deliver the best that we could. And, you know, I'm a better person for having done that. And sorry that I don't have the day-to-day contact in the physical sense that we do, but I remember my prayers on a daily basis. And I know that, you know, as one Christian to another, I know that I feel like he's looking out for me. And I'll always appreciate and respect and grow to respect even more the time that we did have. He was a great proponent on seeing the wave in terms of technology. And if you don't mind stepping back to, I think, your more general discussion, because I'm really seeing where we're going with this technology. And I feel like being on the front end of that has been an amazing thing. The internet, if levels, truly levels the playing field for us all. Your website isn't going to be www.creativeservicescompany.com anymore. You really have to start thinking creativeservicescompany.tv. It's amazing now what the technology has afforded us. And you can see here in Detroit, after 137 years, the Detroit Free Press and the Detroit News are moving from, as so many major newspapers are now, moving from 7-day-a-week delivery down to a 3 or 4 day delivery cycle. Many people, I mean, many entities like that are only going to publish 3 or 4 days a week. The Freep is still going to publish 7 days a week, but they're only going to deliver it to your home 3 or 4 days a week. And you're seeing people like the Chicago Tribune, the New York Times on the brink of bankruptcy. So there's an incredible, and I hate to say this, paradigm shift, but there's an incredible shift taking place. What you and I call networking is now being called networlding. So it's amazing that we have access through our computers to an avenue that we've never experienced before. And,
well, what I've found with this stuff, Mick, is that if you know and you learn as it's happening as best you can, I've been following on Twitter a whole lot more, you know, some of these Web 2.0 technologies. Once I got, you're ahead of my curve on the video application, but I've been generating a lot of videos. I've recognized that by putting video online, Google finds it, by incorporating, this Blog Talk Radio platform is just a phenomenal thing. When I'm done here, I'm going to put Ray Pelletier's name into a couple of the keyword elements, and I will almost guarantee that if you were to type in Ray Pelletier in about 2 or 3 hours, this program is going to come up because it's the search criteria. I've read, just as you're talking about the decline in the public print publications, it's going to happen. I mean, this economy, and nobody needs to talk to you more about the economy. You got the double whammy of the auto industry and the Detroit Lions going on over there. There's got to be a lot of sad people in Detroit these days.
There are some people that are really concerned and understandable. A lot of hard-working middle-class people who are seeing, the foreclosure problem is a national crisis, international crisis when you stop and think about it, but particularly in Michigan, and the fact that we had an incredible PR problem from our knothole in the sense that the big three got lumped in with the entire financial fiasco, and it was sad because we felt like we hadn't had a chance to really tell our story. When you are a car company of the magnitude of General Motors, Ford, or Chrysler, part of business is to have that short-term cash bridge capability. And, you know, when Wall Street collapsed, all of a sudden, and I think part of it might have been an attitude or a mentality or a perception of the car companies from generations past that they may have been, there may have been an arrogancy, rightly or wrongly. But when you take a look, especially when you're living it every day here in the Southeast Michigan, Metro Detroit area, there have been some huge strides in streamlining and in visioning to where the industry has to go in terms of, hydros, in terms of hydrogen cars, in terms of hybrids, in terms of gas mileage. So it was really sad, particularly from the Southern senators who, you know, were really trying to shoot down any concept of a bridge loan. And I think, we're not red states, we're not blue states, we're not Democrats, we're not Republicans, we're Americans. And I don't think it's ever been argued or pointed out that particularly the Southern Republican senators who were kind of stonewalling the whole bridge loan concept were, in point of fact, I think just looking out for number one, because many of those states have automotive entities that aren't unionized and weren't necessarily big three automotive entities. But weren't really looking at an American problem. What we're kind of really looking out for themselves, and there was a sadness there and a disappointment.
Well, I can only imagine that there is. We've only got a few more minutes, and I do have a couple people that called in, Mick. I really appreciate you spending a few minutes with me talking about Ray, and maybe even tomorrow we'll set up a program and try to invite a few people who might comment. You think that
Thanks.
Would be a good idea?
Thank you, Ken, and I hope that you. That you have a joyous and prosperous new year, as do your listeners. And
certainly.
And January 1st is the day. God bless you, Kenny.
Thank you, Mick. Thank you for calling in. Who's on from 954? Who's on the 954?
That's Gary, Ken.
Hello, Gary. And, okay, I've got a 305 caller as well. Who's that?
It's me. It's me, Randy.
Oh, okay, good. It's you two guys. Gary, why don't you take a couple minutes and just introduce yourself and then introduce Randy.
All right. My name is Gary Levine, and I am working on a project down in Isla Mirada, Florida, growing live rock for the aquarium and the marine trade. And I'm doing this after the completion of the first phase of the Atlantis project on Key Biscayne. And the thought to come about and do that was a big change from building large reefs to just doing things that are more protective of the environment.
And this is spun off of the research and the work that you've done, you know, starting with the Atlantis Project, which is now effectively known as the Neptune Reef Project near Key Biscayne. Is that correct?
Right. And this is just, you know, it's a whole different thought process for me from going ahead and building things like, you know, we were working on the Save Our Reefs Project also. And I spoke with Steve Blair at Durham the other day. And we have both agreed that we're just going to give it a couple months for me to get my feet wet, so to speak, down in Isla Mirada, and then we'll come back to Save Our Reefs after that. But I've been down in Isla Mirada now. We're going on a second month. I'm working with Randy Cole to set up a live rock operation for taking the live rock on existing leases that I bought and also having a facility on land that keeps that particular live rock probably the freshest live rock available in the United States today.
Well, Randy, why don't you introduce yourself and let me know a little bit about you.
Okay, well, my name is Randy Cole. I'm a resident here in Isla Mirada. I've been here for a few years, and since the inception of me being here, I've really become one with the reefs. I have a large amount of tropical fish tanks and reef tanks at my house, and I've been doing this for, you know, 3 years, pretty much nonstop, steady. And anything I can do to help the reefs, whether it's, you know, live rock aquaculture or coral restoration projects, I'm 100% for and support.
Do you have formal training for that, or is it just a passion of yours?
Just a passion, you know. My formal training, I'm a landscape contractor back in the old days, and kind of crossed into this and meshed the two together, and it seemed to work seamlessly.
Well, this kind of development, this is an underwater landscaping, isn't it?
In a way, it is.
And certainly, Gary and I have talked over the last couple of years since he first started these projects, but in particular this year with these Blog Talk radio programs I'm doing, the Coral Reef Initiative, the symposium that took place in Fort Lauderdale in July, all of the scientists were on the same page saying that there are some serious problems out there. You're seeing it from a layman's terms. Maybe you could just relay why you think it's important to do what you're doing.
Well, you know, the past few years, I'm pretty much on the water almost every day, if not at least a few times a week. And even in the few years I've been here, I've seen the changes happen. I mean, they happen from, you know, boat traffic to, you know, injury of driving through turtle grass in the area, through, you know, vacationers who don't know the routes and the keys just because of the shallow depths of the water here. And technically, I mean, we're the breeding ground, the nursery for the whole ecosystem of the coral reef in South Florida. I mean, the Florida Keys is the living reef in the area. And it needs to be protected somewhat. And, you know, they've done everything they can to do that, but they need to go a step farther, you know. And that's what's great about Gary. He's going to actually, you know, start a live rock operation, aquaculture operation that will actually not only benefit the reefs on the standpoint of providing a product that doesn't have to be taken from the wild, but it can be done in a really safe and environmentally sensitive manner. So hats off to Gary for that one.
Gary, explain to me how that works. You don't grow coral from, like, putting a seed in the sand, do you?
Well, that's actual growing of coral. I mean, there's a lot of people that have taken the initiative to specifically grow coral, which is much different than what we're calling live rock. In the live rock industry, the United States consumes 90% of the live rock product that is harvested all over the world. And they've harvested in Hawaii, the Philippines, Tonga, Fiji, and a lot of other places that now they're starting to see that the reef that they were chopping apart has now left them more barren of fish than they were before. So era that we're living in right now, this green era, this green thinking era, the emphasis that's on the coral reefs, because people are actually seeing their destruction. Some 25% or more is completely destroyed right now, and approximately 50% is in some elevated state of peril. If they keep it up and keep overfishing like they're doing, if they keep tearing up reefs like they're doing, that source of energy that's in the oceans is going to die. And that's just an unfortunate reality of the coastal population booms and runoff, coastal runoff, people using the oceans in third world countries as dumping grounds. It can only consume so much waste before the waste actually consumes that which was alive, and that's what the state that we're in right now. So we feel that if we could take the pressure off, just like we did with the Atlantis Project, take the pressure off of the natural reef systems, that we're doing a good thing. And the live rock business, as it is one that you can actually earn a living while you're doing something good for the environment. So it's a win-win situation.
Now, live rock is used for aquarium purposes. Is that what it's used for?
Yeah, that's number one source. I mean, yeah, big aquariums, like you may think of the Atlantis Aquarium or SeaWorld or some of the city aquariums, they also have a need but for much larger rock. But typically, the consumption of the reefs is all based upon the aquarium trade.
Well, I tell you, it was something for us to talk about in 2009. Basically, the idea of today's program, I was just, you know, wanted to put something on the air to talk about my friend Ray Pelletier, who passed away in 2005. His corporate entity, his legacy, so to speak, was that, you know, his company is called January 1st. And it was based on the philosophical approach that just, you know, January 1st is not a calendar period of time. It is an attitude that every day is January 1st. You leave December 31st behind you, and you move forward. You know, and I got thinking about it as, you know, we're winding down today, being the calendar end of the year and tomorrow and starting. And I realized how important it is to be able to begin again. You've been very prolific in that. You know, your persistence has been remarkable over the years, and I guess I just say how much I respect all the work that you've done. And so anything that I can do in 2009 on Blog Talk Radio or the like, I'd be there to help you as the best I can.
Well, that's great, Ken. And you will be hearing from us because there's a lot of organizations and a lot of people that are have movements about not taking any more coral from the reefs of the world. It's interesting that you are really not even allowed to take sand from the beaches. So the sand is protected, but still many countries overlook that as a stimulus to their economy. The results, as they happen in Fiji, are probably just a good testimony so that even though they have a boost in their economy, it's only temporary, and they have to make better plans.
Well, no doubt about that. Randy, I look forward to working with you and talking to you in the new year. Happy New Year to both of you. I hope that it's a pleasant evening for you. You're going to be down there rocking and rolling in Isla Mirada?
That's right. It's a beautiful day here. Can ask for a better day.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful night as well. Randy, I'll talk with you soon. I got to wind this little program up now. Gary, have a great evening, and I'll talk with you soon.
Happy New Year, Ken. Have a good New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. Okay, bye. Goodbye now. This is Ken English. You've been listening to Liquid Lounge. I'm doing this particular program today. It was a little bit of a mixed bag, a little reflection on the past year, 2008, and a little thoughts toward the future. But primarily I was really focused on my friend Ray Pelletier and the fact that this is a signal day for when his life was going on. December 31st and the transition in January 1st were very significant and symbolic. And so I'm trying to make it a little more significant and symbolic for myself as well. And for those of you who are out there listening, recognizing that yesterday you can't make a change, and as soon as we move in from night into day, you can't change anything that's happened today. Every day is January 1st, and that's really the approach that we're going to take as we go into 2009 with Liquid Lounge and some of the other programs that I'm working on for other people and organizations. You can check out blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradioguy.com. I'm posting a lot more information there on the shows that I'm doing, and I'll be broadening that out, and also posting some tips on how to set up your own Blog Talk Radio radio program. If you are in the business, if you've got a business and a message, maybe we can joint venture something. I could be the producer. You can be the salesperson. We just need to get the word out. And that's what this is real good about. So next week, 1 o'clock on Wednesday, come on back. It's Liquid Lounge with Ken English. The next show will be on Saturday at 10 a.m. with Eco Alert with Nadine Patrice, an environmentally focused program on reforesting Haiti. With that, I'm just going to close out the program for today. Might actually do a special one tomorrow on January 1st, but that'll just be hit and miss. Have a great evening. Happy New Year to everybody who's listening.